You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, I wanted to share that with you firstly. There are so many ways that we can show and receive love. You know, the way I naturally show love is through acts of service. So this is doing things for other people. And you know, growing up, there were many things I did to show my love for my family. You know, I did the dishes, I folded the washing, I was, you know, an elite photographer who organized family photo shoots for our family with my fancy digital camera. You know, there's a lot of talent there. I didn't pursue it, but I thought, I'll let other people take those moments. You know, I took my brothers and sisters for motorbike rides in the park. I gave them new clothes because that is what you do as being the oldest. And they always called them hand-me-downs, but, you know, it's a new wardrobe, regardless if it's a hand-me-down or not. It's a new wardrobe. You know, I even spent time with them developing their love for coffee. I would exchange teaspoons of Milo for teaspoons of Nescafe. I come to realise that when you express love in certain ways, it's not always received as love. And so maybe if I actually did love them well, I would have, one, told them it was Nescafe, or two, not done it at all. My mum would have said, don't do it at all, but it's all okay. We're all on a journey of learning to love others and our family well. You know, as a church, we are on this journey of growing in our discipleship and what it means for our lives. And our declaration for this year is 1 John 2:6. For those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. You know, as followers, as disciples of God, we are called to live our lives just as Jesus did. So when you're in the car and it's a 100K zone and you're stuck behind someone doing 70, yes, you are also called to be a disciple in that moment. You are also called to live your life as Jesus did in that moment. You know, this morning is Family Sunday, so it only seems fitting for us to look at what living our lives as Jesus did means for us and for our families. You know, I'm going to read from John 13, 34 to 35 this morning. It says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You know, there are so many combinations that make up families. Mums, dads, aunties, uncles, husbands, wives, cousins, brothers and sisters, grannies and pas. You know, for some of us, our family is, we consider our friends as our family. Moving a country, I have friends who are considered as my family. But you know, whoever is a part of your family, one thing that we are all called to do as disciples of Jesus and members of that family is to love each other just as Jesus has loved us. You know, cooking meals, taking out the bins, cleaning your room of chip packets, buying gifts, giving compliments, "You look lovely today." You're saying, "I love you." You know, these are all great ways that we express love to our family. And let me encourage you, keep doing these things. Kids and youth in the room, keep cleaning your room. Keep, amen, I hear that. Keep helping out around the house. And if you're like, "Maybe I'm not quite doing that," that's okay. Today is a new day to start. Amen, the parents said. So what does it mean for us to love our family like Jesus loves? You know, I am so glad that learning to love and live like Jesus isn't like an IKEA flat pack without instructions. You know, but instead we have a book full of God's word, God's truth that leads and guides us and teaches us and encourages us how to live like him. I am so thankful that I have his word always with me. And you know, as Jesus' ministry on earth approached an end, he spent time with his disciples, teaching, sharing, and reminding them about the importance of staying close to him and staying in relationship with him when he was getting ready to go. And I'm going to read from John 15, 1 to 8. And you can follow along on the screens. If you've got the Bible app, you can follow along in your Bible app. But it reads, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask of anything you want and it will be granted. You will produce, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. You know, you may be thinking, what do we have in common with vines, branches, pruning, and fruit? And why is it so important? You know, Jesus is using this illustration with his disciples to paint a picture of what our relationship and life should look like with him. You know, for a branch to produce fruit, it must remain connected to its source of life, the vine. So for you and I to produce fruit, we must remain connected to our source of life, being Jesus. You know, the moment that you and I received salvation, we came into a personal relationship with God and we became connected with him. And this was never ever meant to be a one-time event or a one-time moment. You know, Jesus tells the disciples, remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in me and my words will remain in you. You know, he's wanting them to stay in close relationship with him. You know, for you and I to remain, to stay close with Jesus, we must be consistent. So how do we remain consistently connected to Jesus? You know, we set aside time to be in his presence. We read our Bible. We gather together on Sunday mornings like we're doing now. We come to midweek events, connect, worship encounter, discipleship, youth on a Friday night. You know, we have moments of one-on-one discipleship and pastoral catch-ups. You know, all of these are foundational in our relationship with Jesus, and they help us to remain consistently connected to him. Now, hear my heart this morning, church. You know, being consistent can be easier said than done. Life is busy. We've got work, we've got home commitments, we've got endless amounts of washing and dishes. You know, for the younger ones, there's school, there's homework, there's our social settings as well. And life has moments of challenge, but I want you to be encouraged. Wherever you find yourself, wherever your family is at, keep praying, keep in his word, keep gathering together on a Sunday morning, because it's when you remain connected and close to him, there is fruit. And this is what Jesus says in verse 5. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. You know, when you and I remain in Jesus and he in us, we will produce fruit. But what fruit? Because I think it's pretty fair to say that we're not all of a sudden going to start seeing apples and pears and grapes start to appear around us, even though that would be good because fruit is so expensive at this current moment. But what is the fruit that God is wanting to produce in our lives? You know, Galatians 5, 22 to 23 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7 says, love is patient, love is and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That is the fruit. You know, as we remain in God through His Word, through gathering together, prayer, you know, and other spiritual disciplines, we continue on this journey of seeing this fruit outworked in our lives and in our families. You know, we see a love that is patient and kind, because don't we all need that in moments in our families? You know, we see love that is not irritable or rude. You know, we have greater joy. We have a love that doesn't hold on to offense. We have gentleness and self-control. We need these things when we love our families well. And this is the fruit that God wants to produce in and through your lives. You know, this is the fruit that allows us and causes us to love like Jesus. This is the fruit that identifies us as disciples of Jesus. You know, this is the fruit that is for every single generation. It's not just for a portion of us, all of us. You know, this is the type of fruit that it says in verse 8 that brings great glory to my Father. But what else is involved in the process of seeing God's fruit in our lives? You know, John 15:2 says, He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You know, for most fruit trees, during the winter season, they're pruned. And this is where you remove the dead, the damaged and diseased branches and anything that affects the growth or the fruit production. It's removed from the tree. And so pruning happens to promote the growth and encourages an increase of the fruit. And so for God to produce fruit in our lives, you know, just like the tree, in the right timing, God prunes and removes the things in our lives that don't produce life, that don't produce growth and impact the quality of producing God's fruit in our lives. That is what God wants to prune in and through us. But be encouraged. You know, God knows you perfectly, and He knows the perfect time to prune and to remove those things, so that in every season of our lives we would see and live in God's fruit. You know, pruning isn't just for a select few. Pruning isn't subject for age, but it's for every generation. And so I want to speak to the youth and the kids in the room. You know, God is wanting to produce fruit in your life. It's not just for the adults this morning. You know, He wants you in every single space to be filled with love and kindness and peace and joy. That's what God wants for you. And so when you're at home, when you're at school with your friends, if you're at sports on a Saturday morning, you know, He wants you to be kind with your words. He wants you to bring peace and calmness wherever you go. You know, He wants you to be someone who brings joy into every single space, because the fruit of the Spirit is for you as well. You know, sometimes when we hear the word pruning, our hands can start to get a little bit sweaty and we can start to feel a little uncomfortable. Now, I want to clarify something with you, that when God wants to prune and shape something in your life, it doesn't look like this. You know, He doesn't want to uproot your life and you feel like a whole tree that's just fallen over. But instead, He wants it to look a little bit more like this, where He comes alongside you and He prunes and he shapes and refines you into the perfect image that He's created you to be. You know, John 16:13 says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me." You know, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, who guides us in God's truth and speaks God's truth. And so as God prunes us, the Holy Spirit reveals God's love, God's gentleness, God's kindness and comfort. That is what we see and we feel when God is wanting to prune in our lives. So why is it important for us to allow ourselves to be pruned? John 15:2. he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You know, it's God's heart for us to live in our God-created identity. That's his heart for you and I, not just on a Sunday, but every single day. You know, to be fruitful, to live our lives that produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the pruning produces in our lives. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, I've always been more of a doer than a sayer. So when it comes to using my words to express love and encouragement, there hasn't always been a lot. Now, let me just clarify, there's always a lot up here. I always thought the words of love, I always thought the words of encouragement, but when it was time to share them, they just kind of got stuck. And I found it really hard to share those words. And unfortunately, mind reading was not a thing and is still not a thing. So I can't just get people to, can you just read those thoughts, please? You know, and so in the early days of my marriage, I became aware that if I was going to love my family like Jesus loves, that I was going to need to grow in speaking and love and encouragement. And this is where the pruning journey began, and that God began removing and healing things of the past, of past hurts and past experiences in my life that blocked those words and blocked that encouragement from being spoken. You know, he exchanged the things I thought for his truth. And I started declaring over myself that words would flow like a river, that they would be living, breathing life words that would flow out of my mouth of love and encouragement. And I continually spoke that over myself. Did the words just pour out? No. No, they did not. You know, it actually started with post-it notes. And there's a few of them there that I wrote to my husband, because I still, even though God was pruning in my life and beginning to see that fruit produced, he was also helping me have the confidence to start to share them. And so I started with post-it notes. You know, this has been, and it still is, a journey where at times it is still hard. And at times it does feel a little uncomfortable. But there's a desire in my heart that outweighs what that is. It outweighs the uncomfortableness. It outweighs the hardness, because I want my family to know that they are loved. And I want them to know that through the words that I speak to them and the words that I speak over them. And you know, even today I keep putting myself in a position for God to keep pruning me, because I'm not there yet. And I want to continually be pruned, and so that I can keep producing his fruit for myself, for my family, and for every generation that comes after me. You know, is there something in your life that God is wanting to prune so that you can love your family well? You know, maybe it's the words you speak when you're feeling a bit of pressure and a bit of stress. You know, for the youth in the room, maybe it's comparison to people's social media, trying to keep up with the things that are currently happening. Or it's, you know, you're trying to be like someone else. You know, maybe for others, it's barriers that stop you from experiencing God's love for yourself. Or maybe, like me, there's past hurt and past experiences that are stopping God from producing that fruit to flow in and through you. You know, whatever it may be, God wants to produce life-giving fruit in your life and for your family. And you know, we can't truly love our family like Jesus if there's a portion of us that either needs healing or removing. It can be hard to hear that, but it's true. We cannot truly love our family well if there is something God is needing to do in our lives. You know, for me to speak words of love and encouragement, I had to allow God to prune and remove the blockages that was of past hurts and experiences. But you know, when you spend time in God's word, when you spend time in prayer, when you set aside time to share your journey with a trusted friend, a pastor, a professional, you know, to bring healing and that wholeness in your life, when you declare God's promises over yourself and you're exchanging your thoughts for his thoughts, you're being pruned. That's the pruning beginning to take place in your life. It's in those moments where God is refining you and bringing things to the surface in you. You know, be encouraged. Remaining with Jesus and being pruned, they're interconnected. You know, as we remain in close proximity with Jesus, we can continue to stay on the course of Jesus's pruning and his refining. You know, when we follow Jesus, pruning, it's part of the journey. It's a part of our discipleship and our walk with him, of becoming more like him and living like him. You know, when we remain in close proximity, we're choosing to be consistently positioned in a place where he prunes and removes the unfruitful things in our lives. The things that shouldn't be there in our lives, he removes them. So instead of it feeling like a large, thriving branch being cut out, it feels more like a little twig, because we're remaining in those moments for the refining and the pruning to take place. You know, it doesn't mean it's always easy. I'm not saying it's easy, church. But we keep our focus on the fruit that it produces. We keep our focus on what we will see in and through our lives and in our families. And so as I wrap up this morning, you know, it's God's heart that our lives would produce so much fruit, and that this fruit would be the foundation of loving our family. You know, in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. But before I do, what is the Holy Spirit bringing to your attention this morning? You know, what does he want to prune in your life so that you can love your family well? You know, maybe you've been remaining in Jesus, but you're not allowing that pruning process to take place. Or maybe you've started the pruning, but it felt a little bit too hard, so you've put it to the side for a little bit. You know, for whatever reason, this morning, it's my heart and it's my encouragement that for each of us, wherever we find ourselves, that our desire to live like Jesus and to love our family like Jesus would be so strong that we would take that step out to remain in him, that we would take that step out to remain consistent in gathering together and reading his word, that we would remain consistent in being pruned, because it is the fruit of the Spirit that God is wanting to produce in us to love our families, to love ourselves, to love those around us. So why don't we pray this morning? God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are our source of life and that you are our source of true love. And God, I lift up every person and every family to you this morning. God, I pray as each of us would remain in you, that God, you would prune away anything that isn't of you, anything that is unfruitful, that you would refine us, God, to become more like you and to love like you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you are just ministering to hearts this morning. And I declare that you are beginning the process of removing those blockages and those things that stop us from loving like you. And that you are revealing in our hearts and our minds, God, your truth and your goodness. You know, Holy Spirit, I pray, let the fruit of the Spirit flow in and through us as we love our families. I pray, let there be an abundance of fruit produced in every season, God, for every person, for every family, for every generation, God. I pray that our words would be filled, God, with your kindness, your peace, and your goodness, God. That our lives would overflow with your joy and your love. And that in everything we do, we would produce your fruit. that it would be your fruit that would flow in and through us and our families and every generation. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that it brings you glory. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
What an encouraging message. I want to encourage you. This isn't a message of challenge. This is a promise that God has for you. This is a promise that God has for you. He wants to take things off. He wants to allow love to flow through your family. He wants fruit to flow through your family. That's the promises of God for you. That's his yes and amen for you. That's exciting. Anyone else excited about that? I mean, I am. To see freedom come to our families in Jesus' name. See generational things once and for all just be done. Step into the promises of God. In a moment, we're going to finish the service, but if you're in the room or you're watching online now or at a later time, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, I want to love like Jesus. I want to bear fruit like Jesus bears fruit. I want that. But I want to encourage you, there's something that you need to do first. You need to be known by God. You need to be grafted into the vine that is Jesus. You need to know him first. How do you know God? How do you be known by God? Well, the Bible says it quite simply in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. At that moment, you're grafted into the vine that is Jesus. And I want to give everybody the opportunity today. If you don't know Jesus personally, or you've been off doing your own thing, this is your moment to be known, to be grafted into the vine. If you're watching online, this is a moment for you too. And so I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of calling on the name of the Lord, asking for forgiveness of our sin, turning our lives back to God to be known. Only Jesus can set us free of our sin. Amen. Only Jesus went to the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sin. He did that for us because he loves us so much. If that's you, why don't you pray this prayer after me? Church, join us as well. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus, that he went to the cross, went to the grave, and you raised him on the third day for the forgiveness of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. Today, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I receive your salvation and I choose to follow you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.